Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily, and Leo.
Hello! And each episode we will tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you.
So, Leo, it's nice to be back in the studio, but we did enjoy Zestfest, didn't we?
Oh, it was amazing.
Good fun.
Your storytelling was incredible as well.
Oh, thank you very much. It's always nice to do it in front of a live audience, isn't it? And, of course, we have to talk about your storytelling, Leo. That was amazing. You were telling in front of a live audience too.
Thank you.
It was really fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We're sorry that there was so much background noise, though.
Yeah.
But that's festivals.
That is festivals for you. There's always lots of things going on at once. And we hope it didn't spoil listening too much. We definitely had lots of fun. And we had a full tent of families and kids, didn't we, Leo?
Yeah, I'm sure the audience really enjoyed it.
I hope so. Well, we think it's probably time for some shout-outs. I've had lots of messages and requests, and we haven't done it for a whole 2 weeks. So, seeing as we've got so many, shall we head straight into shout-outs, Leo?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go for it.
Well, firstly, we have a shout-out to Riley, who is 7, from Nashville, Tennessee, USA.
Oh, hi, Riley.
Hi, Riley.
Thanks for listening.
Next, we have a shout-out to Anya and Freya in Brighton, UK.
Oh, down in lovely sunny Brighton. Hi, Anya.
Hi, Anya.
Hi, Freya.
Thanks for listening.
Now here's a shout-out to Harry, who is 5, and Joey, who is 3, in Tring, UK. Their favourite story is Little Ducky.
Oh, that one's a classic.
Hi, Harry.
Hi, Joey.
Thanks for listening.
Also, we have a shout-out to Layla, who is 9, and Macy, who is 7, and their dog Teddy from Bournemouth, UK.
Oh, hi, Layla.
Hi, Layla.
Hi, Macy. Ruff, ruff, Teddy.
Hi, Teddy.
Thanks for listening. I think we've got another doggy one here.
Oh, here's another shout-out to Bear, who's 10 years old, and his 5-month-old puppy, Cottontail, from Texas, USA.
Cottontail.
Cottontail, that's a lovely
Bear.
Name. Hi, Bear.
Hi,
Cottontail.
Woof, woof. Thanks for listening.
Here's a shout-out to Hadley, who is 5, from South Carolina, USA. Her favourite current episode, well, episodes, are Perseus and Medusa.
Oh, yeah, lots of people loved that one. Hi, Hadley.
Hi, Hadley.
Thanks for listening.
And finally, here's a shout-out to Willa and Harvey from Ohio, USA.
Hi, Willa.
Hi, Willa.
Hi, Harvey.
Thanks for listening. Oh, that was amazing, Leo. And remember, if you at home would like a shout out on our podcast, then you can either let us know in the Dragonfly Tales Facebook group. We've got a story chat now. Or you can email us at emilydragonflytales@gmail.com.
Tell us your age and your town, please.
Oh, yes. Tell us your age and your town. And I'll put all of those details into the episode notes.
So, Emily, what's your story today?
Well, Leo, my story is a fairy tale from Ireland, and it's about changelings.
Wait, what's a changeling?
Well, I don't want to give too much away. Let's just say changelings are fairy folk, and they can be quite unpleasant if you happen to come across one.
Mm.
How do you think we should start today's story, Leo?
I think we should start long ago in the mists of Ireland.
Excellent. Long ago, in the mists of Ireland, there lived a young woman and her baby boy. Her husband had died in the war, so it was only the two of them.
That's sad.
It is sad, but she loved her baby boy. When the baby cried, like this,
Waleo walia, waleo walia.
Very good. Can I try that?
Yeah.
Waleo walia, waleo walia.
It's a bit of a strange cry, I can tell you that.
She would comfort her baby with a lullaby. Would you like to hear it?
Of course.
Where dips the rocky highland of Sleuthwood in the lake, there lies a leafy island where flapping herons wake the drowsy water rats. There we've hid our fairy vats. pockets full of berries and I've read a stolen cherry.
That was beautiful. Now, what were their names?
Well, the old stories don't really say. She's just called the lass and the baby's called the baby. You can give them names if you want.
We can call the lass Orla. Oh, that's quite a nice name.
Yeah, it's a good Irish name, Orla.
And the baby. How about Jeff? I mean, Connor.
Connor. Not Jeff. Again, Jeff always pops up, doesn't he? Orla and Connor. I like that. Orla had a small cottage and a garden for growing vegetables, a cow for milk, and three chickens for eggs.
So she had food?
Yes, she had food, but not much else. She didn't have very much money. So at harvest time every year, when the wheat and barley needed coming down, she would work in the fields for the farmer to earn a little more money. And she'd have to take her baby with her. Well, there was no one to look after him. Now, on one hot, sunny day, she laid the baby on a blanket in the shade of the only tree in the whole field, an old hawthorn tree. Then she took her scythe and went off in the field to work with the other farmhands.
Oh, no. Did you see a hawthorn tree? I think we know this from another story, don't we?
Oh, my goodness. What can you tell me about hawthorn trees in Ireland, Leo?
Oh, I can tell you that any time. It's where the fairies live.
They're definitely very magical trees and not to be disrespected. Orla had not been reaping long when she heard baby Connor crying. Do you remember how he cries?
Of course. Wailia Wailia. Wailia Wailia.
But he wasn't crying like that. It was more like this. Wailia Wailia. Wailia Wailia.
What? That doesn't sound like a baby.
Yeah, can you have a go?
Wailia Wailia. Wailia Wailia.
Orla thought he must be very hungry or maybe getting a bit of a cold. When she got to the tree, she looked down and to her horror, her beautiful, healthy, rosy-cheeked, dark-haired baby boy was now scrawny with a sour, pale face. And instead of Connor's thick, dark curls, there were now wisps of light hair on top of the baby's head. Wailia Wailia! Wailia Wailia! The baby cried and cried. Can you do that?
Wailia Wailia! Wailia Wailia!
Orla said, what has happened? Oh, Connor, you look awful sick and you don't sound yourself at all.
That is not her baby.
Well, of course not. And Orla knew it. She began desperately searching the whole field. She asked all the other workers and she cried his name until her voice broke. But there was no sign of baby Connor. As night began to fall, she went back to the tree, heartbroken. The sickly, pale baby was still crying and crying with hunger.
Wailia Wailia! Wailia Wailia!
And because she was a kind-hearted lass and couldn't bear to see the child so hungry and feeble, she took the baby back to the village, stopping at every house on the way. "Excuse me, have you seen my wee Connor? Do you know who owns this baby?" But nobody could tell her anything. That night, she fed the strange baby milk and cream and porridge, anything she had, but the baby still howled with hunger.
Wailia Wailia! Wailia Wailia!
Oh, said Orla, this is the strangest, hungriest, noisiest, sickliest baby I've ever come across. And the next morning, after she'd searched and searched for her own wee babe, she headed to the only person who she thought could possibly help.
Let me guess. An old wise woman.
You guessed right. Orla wrapped up the wailing infant and headed to the edge of the forest where the wise woman lived.
Oh, Orla, come in, come in. It's been so long. And how's your wee Connor? Put him there on that blanket by the fire.
Whaley-a-whaley-a, whaley-a-whaley-a.
The old woman shrieked and ran to the other side of the room. Oh, my! What have you brought into my home? Orla told her the whole story, that she'd lost her beloved son and now had this sickly, pale, noisy baby in his place. Oh, and he won't stop eating. I tell you, he's hungry and hungry all the time. Now, Orla, you listen to me. This is not a mortal child. It's a changeling child. It's one of the little people, the other crowd. You see, in Ireland, people do not say the word fairy. They don't call fairies fairies.
Why's that?
Well, it's for fear of upsetting them, so they call them the good people, or the little people, or the other crowd, or the wee folk.
It's a changeling, I tell you.
What's a changeling, though?
Well, ask the old woman.
Mrs. Old Woman, what's a changeling?
I'll tell you. A changeling is one of them, left in place of a human child.
But where is my Connor? Said Orla.
The wee folk have him and have left this pitiful creature in his place.
The old woman looked suspiciously at the pale, ugly baby who scowled at her. Ah, come on, surely not, said Orla. 'Tis only a sick wee baby.
Whaley-a-whaley-a, whaley-a-whaley-a.
The old woman grabbed Orla by the hand and took her over to a corner.
Now you listen to me, Orla. This is one of the she. Try as he might, though he can't fool me. I'll prove it to you. All we must do is get him to reveal himself. Now you do exactly as I say now. You play along, right?
They both looked over at the baby on the blanket.
Now then, Orla, would you and wee Connor here be having some supper?
Whaley-a-whaley-a!
Settle down now, Connor. Oh, he's a hungry lad. Now let me see what I have in the cupboard. Here, Orla, let's make him some nice creamy porridge. Ah, but look, I've lent me mixing pot to the neighbour.
Whaley-a-whaley-a!
Sure, what could we use as a pot?
Here, said Orla, perhaps we could use this shoe to mix the porridge in.
Ah, yes, me old shoe. Ah, perfect.
That's disgusting. Why would they do that?
Oh, but I've run out of milk. Oh, what could we use instead? Oh, how about we use this cooking fat instead? Oh, yes, that'll do nicely. Ah, but my bowl has an awful crack in it. Here, said Orla, we can use this old eggshell instead. And that did it. The strange baby shrieked and cried.
Stupid woman! How am I supposed to eat that garbage? Your heads are as empty as that eggshell and you smell as bad as that stinky shoe. Oh. You get me porridge right away or I'll wail so loud I make your ears bleed.
Ah. Ha! Said the old woman, and she picked up an iron poker from the fire and pointed it at the changeling, whose face was twisted in a horrible scowl.
I knew it, a changeling child!
And she thrust the poker at the creature.
No, no, not the iron, missus, not the iron!
What shall we do with you? Here, Orla, I've a big pair of iron scissors in the drawer, you grab 'em.
No, 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 pretty lass, not the iron, not the iron!
Wait, why is he so scared of iron?
Well, you see, that's another brilliant thing about fairies and fairy tales and magic. You often find that magical creatures are repelled by earthly materials, and iron is one of them.
Interesting.
The changeling cowered down in the blanket.
I'll be good, I'll be good.
Where is my Connor?
In the hill, the mound, the queen has him. She bounces him on her knee.
I bet he means the queen of fairies.
Well, I wish to speak with your queen.
Oh, no, you can't be going in our hill. You won't come back, and you can't get your baby back. I'm your baby now, and you must take care of me. Wail a wire! Wail a wire!
The old woman raised the poker, but Orla stopped her and began to sing the lullaby. Where dips the rocky highland of Sleuthwood in the lake? There lies a leafy island where flapping herons wake. The drowsy water rats, there we've hid our fairy vats full of berries and of redder stolen cherries. Come away, oh human child, to the woods and the waters wild, with a very hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. Soon the changeling child was sleeping peacefully in front of the fire.
Oh, he's an unpleasant creature, isn't he? Said the old woman. No wonder they didn't want him.
I feel a bit sorry for him.
How so, Leo?
Well, he's noisy, ugly, really rude and always hungry. But he still is a child. And a sickly one. It seems so cruel of the fairies to get rid of him and steal a mortal child instead.
Well, what do you think Orla should do?
Well, she has to get Connor back, but I doubt the fairies will just give him back.
No, I doubt that very much.
Is there a way to talk to the Queen that doesn't involve going through the fairy thorn or going into the hill?
Well, you could ask the old woman.
Okay, old woman, is there a way to talk to the Queen that doesn't involve going through the fairy thorn or going into the hill?
Yes. The old woman sat in her chair and sighed. There is, but I would advise against it. The good people are not to be trifled with. They cast terrible magic on those who offend them. The Queen and all the folk come out of the hill at certain special times of the year. On All Hallows' Eve, the hills open and the fairies ride out on a great hunt. But I beg you, Orla, not to go demanding your child from the Queen. She's a violent temper, they say. Orla thought. What if I was to give her something in return?
What would she give her in return, though?
I don't know. What do you think? What has she got to give?
Well, they're definitely not going to accept this poor, poor fairy child.
Well, not in the state it's in, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, an option is that they could nurse it back to health.
That's not a bad idea. The summer was ending, and the harvest was done. Orla walked home with the fairy babe in her arms. As the weeks passed, the sickly baby began to change. He had such a good appetite, he started to look much healthier, and his hair became thicker and more golden. His cheeks became rosy, and under Orla's gentle care, he wailed less and smiled more. His voice was less shrill, and when he was rude or bold, she patiently corrected his behaviour. He asked her all sorts of questions about the mortal realm, and she answered as best she could, watching as the summer came to an end, the leaves turned golden and red, and she waited day after day for All Hallows' Eve. By the time it was nearly there, the Samhain, the fairy baby had grown into a little golden-haired child.
They grow much faster than humans, I can see.
He followed Orla everywhere, toddling about, helping with milking the cows, feeding the chickens, with big smiles on his face.
Gosh, he's definitely changed, hasn't he?
She almost didn't want to go through with her plan. But her heart pined for her baby Connor. When the night arrived
and the Samhain fires burned, Orla made her way to the fairy hill in the middle of the moors, the changeling boy at her side. There was no bird song now. Darting shadows were all around her. It was hard to see, but the child walked as if it were broad daylight. Are you not afraid of the dark, little one?
Oh, no. I like both the day and the night, the sun and the moon. I like the stars above most of all. I feel that I could take them from the sky and with them make you a pretty crown. Where are we going?
To where you came from.
To find my mother?
Yes.
And your missing child?
Yes.
Do you not wish to have me anymore?
Oh, no. Sweet child, I care for you very much. But you're not of this world, and I fear over time you will get sickly again.
But what if I don't?
Shh! Quiet. They stood in front of the great fairy hill. There was no door, no opening, no hole, nothing. And then she heard a sound from deep within. The trill of unearthly pipes. And she watched as the moonlight poured over the rocks. An eerie glow began to shine through the cracks. Quick, child, hide behind these bushes. There was a sound like cracking thunder. Silver bridles jingled, horses whinnied, and out from the hillside rode the fairy troop. Orla knew the fairy queen as soon as she saw her. She was mounted on a pearl-white steed. Long golden hair fell in cascades down her silken cloak. Her face was pale as moonlight, and her eyes glinted with wildfire. The queen's lords and ladies rode behind her on chestnut-brown horses, their silken gowns flowing out behind them.
They sound amazing and elegant.
Orla at once jumped to her feet and tried to run to the queen, but the fairy folk rode off as fast as a rush of strong wind.
She missed her chance.
Not quite. Orla waited back in the bushes with the golden child, who curled up under her cloak. She waited all night. And as the moon began to fade, she heard again the sound of hooves.
They're returning. You must stand in the path and block the entrance.
As the troop thundered towards the hill, Orla sprang from her hiding place and stood in front of the entrance. The fairy queen's horse reared up and she pulled at the reins. Who dares to halt the queen? Her voice was like shards of ice. Your Majesty, please forgive me. I have brought you a gift. The queen's lords and ladies had now slowed their horses behind her, and they stared at the lass. A gift? What manner of talk is this? Show me this gift. Orla beckoned to the bush, and the small child came out, his golden hair glittering in the moonlight. Who is this child? He's beautiful, is he not? He was left in a field many moons ago, pale and sickly and unhappy, but I fed him and cared for him and loved him like a mother. And now he is healthy and happy, and oh, he's so, so very clever. I knew he must be of magical birth, so I've brought him to you. Perhaps you will know his mother? The queen's eyes fell on the child. I am his mother.
Bun, dun, dun!
Oh, of course, I knew he was of royal birth. Such a fine boy indeed.
Hey, I like it. She's using flattery.
She is. If he's so fine a child, why do you wish to return him? Well, if you please, Your Majesty, I fear that he will not fare well in the mortal world. He'll become sickly again. He belongs with his people, with his mother. Bring him over to me. I shall see if he is truly my child. No, said Orla. The queen flashed fiery eyes at her. What? You dare to say no to me? I could strike you down with a plague or blindness, I could turn your insides out. Please, Your Majesty, I only wish a favour for a favour. I have nursed your child to health and return him to you. I want my son back. My wee Connor.
Yes.
The Queen's horse whinnied and its huge hooves moved toward Orla. I have acted with honour and I speak truthfully and fairly. It is said the good folk of these hills reward such virtues. All I ask is my son for yours. The Queen's face softened. You've courage, girl, and you speak truthfully. Give me my son and I shall return yours.
Wait, wait. The fairy folk are not to be trusted. Ask for her son first.
Good plan. My son in my arms first. The Queen signalled to one of her lords, who galloped towards the hill and disappeared inside. In an instant he returned, with a bundle in his arms.
Walia Walia, Walia Walia.
I admire your spirit, lass, and you're wise to be wary. Here is your son. The lord passed down the baby Connor to Orla, who grasped him tightly to her. Then she turned to the golden child, but he had wandered over to the Queen's horse and was stroking its muzzle.
You have a fine horse, Mother. Will you teach me to ride him?
The Queen lifted the boy up onto the horse, brushed his golden curls, and smiled. He is healthy and strong, a fine boy of mine. You have taken good care of him, lass. You have the goodwill of the Queen and the folk of these hills. May it be with you and your child all your life. The golden child smiled and waved goodbye to Orla. And then, with a twitch of reins and the jingle of silver bells, the fairy troop rode into the hill and vanished. And then Orla heard the birds begin to sing, welcoming in the dawn on the moor. And all was quiet. Well, except for...
Walia Walia, Walia Walia.
Oh, my wee Connor. You've not aged a day. Oh, let's get you home and fed. The Queen of the Fairies kept her promise. Orla and Connor were blessed with good fortune. And as he grew into a man, Connor always said he felt he had someone watching over him, protecting him. Connor sometimes saw him in his dreams, sometimes a young man with a smiling face and golden hair. He told Orla it was his guardian angel, and she would always smile, for she knew who it really was. She saw him in her dreams too.
A changeling child.
The end.
So did you like that story, Leo?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
What was your favourite bit?
Well, I loved how at the beginning the changeling child was so sick, but then Orla was able to nurse him back to health and make this beautiful angel-like child.
Very kind-hearted of her, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Considering as well that she was pining for her own lost baby.
Well, of course.
I mean, we had no idea that that plan was going to work, and it was quite brave to take on a fairy queen, was it not?
Talking of the fairy queen, It wasn't very nice of her to leave her child just hanging there, sick and horrible.
I know, it was a little bit callous. So she had a sickly baby, and rather than look after it, she just swapped it for a healthy one.
Yeah.
It's a bit extreme, but what we can hope is perhaps that Orla's tender love and care maybe rubbed off on the Queen a little bit, and maybe she'll be a better mum from now on.
Well, I'm glad this story has a very happy ending.
Yeah.
So that's it for this episode. Thanks to everyone who keeps sending shout-out requests and continuing to listen to our podcast, and we'll have a new guest teller coming soon.
And if you're enjoying Dragonfly Tales podcast, what we would absolutely love is if you would leave us a review saying how much you love us.
5 stars, please.
They really, really do make a difference. So yes, please, please leave us a review. And if you can, make a little donation on the website to keep us going. And
thank you so much.
You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily and Leo.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast and we'll be back with another story soon.
But until then, appearances can sometimes lie.
So always check the label.
Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Dragonfly Tales Pod, and follow us on Twitter at Emily Dragonfly.
Sorry.